chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, 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 oh.
I also know that Federal Highways, at the beginning of the month, reached out and asked FDOT for a copy of that feasibility study. What that tells me is a number of conversations that many of us have had with our federal legislators, you know, Congressman Petronas, Senator Scott, Senator Moody. It's obvious that those conversations are having an impact, and the impact from the conversations and the statements made by Colonel Deering and others from Herbert Field, that's obviously landing now. And it's not falling on deaf ears like it once was.
So Colton Wright, Commissioner Colton Wright, talking. We had covered this before, but it becomes particularly relevant because the aforementioned name drop Jimmy Petronas is here in studio with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. First time in person.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Great,
yeah, Commissioner
to have you.
Wright was in the office less than a month ago. And it's so funny. I love logistics and transportation infrastructure. And so he starts.
It's a sentence you don't
things.
Hear people say a lot.
No, I know, right? I'm a nerd. It's so weird because I had so many questions because here I had somebody who knew his county.
Yeah.
And so I go and I grab one of our big district maps that shows the district. I threw it in the office, and you know, I just literally just started using that as my guide to understand, you know, all of the challenges that need to be addressed. So it was just funny. It was great having him up.
By the way, if you have questions for Jimmy, text him in at 437-1620. Your questions, it's a town hall version today, so you can ask him whatever you want to ask him, 437-1620. The note that Colton brought up is that suddenly the Department of Transportation, the big DOT, is interested in this bridge potentially for connection to moving the traffic away from Hurlburt. You know, FDOT is apparently interested because it might save them money on a potential flyover to bypass Navarre, some of the traffic there. So they basically delayed ordering the PD&E because they think there might be some of that, what I sometimes call magic fairy dust money, coming from Tallahassee and maybe from D.C. You're as close to this as anybody we know. Is that a reasonable thing to believe might happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, the state of Florida, the work...
For a new bridge, by the way, for a big, expensive new bridge.
So I was talking to DOT earlier this week, state DOT, and you know, they were talking about how many different bridges are in the pipeline around the state, and I'm kind of like scratching my head, wow, I didn't know those were deficient.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they definitely got the long-term works plan, and they try to project out, this is the time where we're going to need to start being prepared to replace that bridge. So I know DOT is working on it. You know, we're doing our best up in D.C., but, you know, it seemed like just yesterday. I remember when we were raking ground on the Highway 98 bridge here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those projects don't happen overnight.
Right.
They're long-term projects, but they're incredibly important to the economy of an area.
Yeah, and I'm still a little bit baffled by either, not just necessarily how we got here, but why we're here. Like, how can 399 be a state road and 98 be a state road, and then the bridges connecting them are not, you know, because they transferred ownership over time, and Escambia owns Bob Sykes, and, you know, Santa Rosa owns Navarre, and you got Perdido Bridge too. I mean, you know, Barrier Islands are bridge connected. And I know back in the day it wasn't a problem because nobody wanted to live there. A lot of people want to live there and party there, and, you know, that's a big economic source. So
100%.
It's important to us. Anyway, before we get to the text, 437-1620, if you've got a text for Jimmy Petronas, send us a text about your question. I will ask him on the air. I did want to ask you, remember I had told you very specifically that Ryan Jenkins, our farmer up in Jay, mm-hmm. Florida, and the worry about the agency that distributes money at harvest time. Well, we're in a government shutdown. That agency is not distributing money. President Trump announced, $3 billion, I think, that was going to go into funding for that agency, and that's some kind of a stopgap measure. Had you heard anything about that? Do you know anything about that?
So here's the reality of it. Like, I was calling yesterday to the White House on a FEMA issue.
Okay.
And so then they had a Department of Homeland Security liaison reach out to me. I mean, everybody's furloughed. I mean, so the backlog.
I keep thinking I can go get information. I know I can't call them because they're not working.
And I tell you, the higher level staff that are there trying to manage operations, they're beyond stressed. I mean, they're edgy because they're not getting a paycheck either.
Yeah.
I mean, they're working, you know, taking care of the business. And look, it is the House Republicans. We passed a continuing CR that was going. We funded the government. And just yesterday, the Democrats in the Senate voted down a bill that would have paid those employees to try to let's have some normalized discussions with people getting paid. They still voted no. This is a leverage inflection point for them, and pretty selfish.
Yeah, it's also just, to me, it's so weird that I don't even see on the horizon what would change to make this matter enough to make an agreement to do something. It seems like, you know, both sides, everybody's pretty well dug in, and, you know, the pain is happening and nobody cares.
The November elections in New York, New Jersey, and Virginia have a whole lot to do with this.
Okay.
Because if the Dems cave, then their base gets mad at them because they're working with Republicans and you're supposed to be fighting for us. You know, so it's kind of this two-edged sword, but they're still taking, you know, their own beatings from their constituents about, you know, hey, I'm not getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it's just how much of a beating can they handle, and can they keep, they're polling like every hour of how those races are going to turn out because they're important races.
A couple of texts here. Two questions for Jimmy. Questions come from Daniel. Do you support removing marijuana from Schedule 1? And then I'll give you the second one because it's a completely different subject in a second.
So it's funny. I got approached by that the other day. And you got, Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3. And I guess Schedule 1 is in the same category as, like, poison. Schedule 2 is reasonable. So we've been getting approached to try to move it from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. I want to know more about what are the characteristics that they want me to move it to 3, and I was not comfortable with that.
Okay.
I feel like it's something that if we're going to move it, it needs to be able to have some research, but that's the argument they're making, is if we move it from Schedule 1 to 3, then that gives it greater access to research dollars in order to verify the medicinal purposes or healthcare benefits of
it. So you want to see it on Schedule 2, or you're not sure?
If I was forced to make a decision today, I would, and I said you had to make a choice, it was going to be 1 or 2, I think I would be okay having it at 2.
Okay.
I'm not ready to go full 3 simply because I just feel like that's like open the barn door and,
all right,
and you're not having, just gradual. There's a reason why it got put as a Schedule 1 at, yep, one time. You know what? I think there's probably some smart decision making at that.
Oh, I got a text in from one of my traffic guys. Says 399 out on the island is actually County Road. So anything south of 98 to County Road went to the respective counties when the bridges went. Okay, so that makes actually more sense because I couldn't make sense of how, sure, the state road could be not connected to the state road. That seemed kind of weird to me. Second question from Daniel. Are you assisting in reestablishing a post office in downtown Pensacola? This is for people who live downtown, this has been a huge issue. The mayor kind of keeps saying we're sort of working, but there's nothing really official yet. You know anything about that?
Well, to be honest with you, this is the first time I've had that question asked.
Okay.
Love to get more information about it. So is there not?
There had been a post office for a long, long, long time, okay, down in Palo Fox, and that recently closed and went away. And there's been a lot of talk about finding another location, working the deal, you know, what USPS is doing with whoever the leaser would be, you know, that, mm-hmm, kind of problem. So, but not yet solved as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, that's an action of Congress. You know, I'm not opposed to it, neither real estate. It's also a business decision. I don't know what it's going to cost. U.S. Postal Service is upside down financially, so, you know, it's kind of hard to get blood from a turnip, but, you know.
They can keep raising rates.
Yeah, which they have gladly done. Right. I mean, I'm still a guy who uses stamps. I love mailing stuff to people, but, you know, God, you look at your mailbox now. I mean, yesterday there was like 3 pieces of mail.
Right.
And it's funny. I think Discover Card has sent me a credit card invitation like once every day for the last 6 months. And they're like these super fancy pieces. And I'm thinking, and you're spending a fortune, and I'm not going to get your card.
The irony of postal service, of mail, is that it's as technologically advanced as it has ever been. I mean, my wife literally gets an email every day with an image photo, mm-hmm, of everything that's coming. So we can make sure that we are prepared, or if something goes missing, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's kind of cool.
It is amazing.
Thing.
Yeah. Of course, you pay for it. it's more expensive than email. Somebody says, 437-1620, text in your questions for Jimmy Patronis.
These are good questions.
Will you ask Jimmy to sponsor a bill that in the event of a government shutdown, all elected officials and their staff will not get paid?
So I'm already on that bill.
Yeah, which would be a constitutional amendment, right?
Yep. So there's a constitutional. Ralph Norman has got the bill sponsored. Rick Scott has it in the Senate, our own state, United States Senator. I'm a co-sponsor of it. I have not taken a paycheck since the shutdown started. My attitude is if we're not doing our job, then we shouldn't get paid. And I think it's pretty stinking embarrassing that we have members of Congress all over the country who were elected to do a job, especially in the United States Senate. They're still gladly collecting a paycheck, but, you know, refuse to vote to keep the government open.
Yeah, it's I sometimes think we'll never get another constitutional amendment passed. I think this would pass right away.
I think it's been ratified in 30 states. I think you got to get to 35 states. I think it's been ratified already in 30 states.
Let's see. 437-1620 if you want to text in questions from Jimmy Patronis. We're going to run out of time before we run out of questions. The second part of this one, this is the rope-a-dope here. The second that buried the lead. Could part of that bill also include a mandate that when the government shuts down, that Americans pay zero federal tax dollars during the closure?
What? but here's the reality of it.
I mean, if they're not running, you know.
I really don't have a massive problem with that because I hate feeding the beast more money.
Sure.
Because if you keep on giving the beast more money, all it's going to do is spend it. And I'm just always been a big believer, and please just know this, I believe this in my heart, is that the citizens of the state of Florida spend their money a hell of a lot better than Washington, D.C. does.
Do you know how popular you would be if you could be the guy who came with, you know, if we shut down, you don't pay any income taxes? Like, everybody in America would be pro-shutdown. it would be a mess. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But let's see. Another text in here. You're on the Workforce Development Committee. Mm-hmm. Florida's projected to have a healthcare personal care worker deficit of nearly 100,000 people coming in the next 5 years as the silver tsunami hits Florida. We're not making enough babies, right, and we are keeping people alive longer. Is this something Congress is thinking about? Can you address it? Is there anything you can do?
Well, look, I think Congress is always interested in that, but I do appreciate how proactive we've seen, especially our state colleges, because that is a great 2-year degree that morphs into a 4-year degree real easy to create some stability. And it is what it is. As we have more people that need to be taken care of in that silver age, you're going to have more skilled professionals to understand healthcare issues. And that's something AI may complement it, mm-hmm, but AI is not going to solve all those needs.
This is a different kind of question. Yep. Congressman, what inspired you to first run for office, and what advice would you give to me as a young person who's interested in serving the community and maybe eventually having your job?
So I tell people all the time, get involved in public service. It is the most rewarding, nourishing for your soul thing that you could ever do. And public service isn't just running for public office. It could be volunteering in a local organization that does good in your community. Everybody always needs volunteers, and it's such, I tell you, for me, I got involved in a lot of charitable events growing up as a young adult. It opened up doors, and you start to realize, man, you know, people then want you to be a part of other endeavors, and it's enriching, but it's also, if you're looking for opportunities business-wise, it creates a great network of folks that you're able to pick up the phone because you've worked with them, you know, with blood, sweat, and equity, for no compensation, and it's just rewarding. You get to see what type of people they are. So yeah, public service is out. I can make more money getting back in the restaurant business, but there's nothing like solving somebody's problem.
We got another. Hey, you know, we the people want Congress to go back to work and get a constitutional amendment for that exact thing. So get it done. They said shame on Congress.
I agree. Shame on Congress.
Somebody says, I love Jimmy. I'd love to have him talk about FSU and Mike Norvell.
Yeah. So I think the problem you've got with Mike Norvell is the way his contract was written with Jimmy Sexton as his agent. It's a $62 million buyout. All the assistants are all latched together. So, like, if you fire Norvell, that means everybody's going to be paid off.
Wow.
So here's the problem. If you go fire Norvell today, you're going to tell me you're going to find somebody else that's going to come in that's going to win any more games for the rest of this year than Norvell is. So, yeah, does Norvell need to, you know, have a stern talking to? Yeah, does he need to do shake up in his own assistant coaches? Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening right now. But, you know, they go and they spend a fortune redoing the stadium, and, you know, it's all about making the better experience and, like, the, you know, turning the stadium into a destination. I was sharing that exact same comment to somebody the other day, and they said, no, you don't need to spend all that money at your stadium. Just win games. You'll be amazed how many seats you'll fill up at that stadium. You know,
people want to see the wins if they have to. I mean, people go to Wrigley.
Yeah.
To watch the Cubs win a lot, okay? And nobody ever says, man, I'm not going to watch that baseball game because I don't like the stadium.
Yeah, the stadium's dump, you know? Yeah.
So I think we're totally out of time. How about this real quick one?
All right.
Just this is a basic government question. If Republicans have the majority in the House and the Senate and the White House, how can Democrats keep voting down the budget?
I love you asked this question. So thank you, whoever sent that in. Because in the Senate, it requires 60 votes in order to reopen the government. We have got to get some Democrats' participation. So we've only got 53 Republicans in the United States Senate. So we have to get them aboard. Back in March, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, brought seven Democrats over with him, and they voted to continue the government, this exact same vote. And he got eviscerated for it. His base ate him alive. So you know what? He knows the stove is hot.
Yeah, it has to do with filibusters and the cloture rule. Correct. And if you can't get to 40 to end debate, basically, which means you've got to have 60, you know, in order to stop that. And they have more than 40. They have, you know, 47. Yeah. So they have enough to keep stopping this through basically the filibuster rule, which is a lot of people look at that and say it's a crazy rule, but it is the way the Senate works.
I'll stretch it. And then so then they said, well, why don't you just get rid of that rule and make it 50 plus one? And the problem is all right, the shoe's going to be on the other foot someday.
That's right.
And then you'll get packing of the Supreme Court. You'll see Washington, D.C. turn into a state. They'll pick up two more Democratic senators. How many Democratic members of Congress? So, I mean, it's just kind of like watch what you do.
That's
when you
right.
open
the,
up that
the
box.
The long-term consequences, adverse consequences of eliminating the cloture rule would be potentially catastrophic.
That's
Jimmy,
right.
thanks for the time. Thanks for coming
for
in. Good to have you in studio.
Yeah, of course.
We'll talk to you soon.